Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Courageous Parenting. But first, here's the message. Everyone needs Jesus.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 9, the ninth chapter of the book of Romans. And the ninth chapter of Romans is considered to be a controversial passage of Scripture. And it is often overlooked in teaching and preaching. But Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, we're not going to skip it because it is among the most enlightening and elevating passages of Scripture, certainly in Romans and in all of the Bible, because this is critical and essential to our understanding the ultimate plan of God. And we're going to be dealing with some very important subjects along the way. Subjects like the sovereignty of God, words like predestination and foreordination and election, God's choosing, the responsibility, the accountability of man, men and women. What is our choice in all of this? And then there's the subject of Israel and the relationship of Israel to the world and to the Word, relationship of Jews to Jesus. God's plan, has God set aside, has God canceled the Jewish nation? Paul addresses that subject here. We're going to see the necessity and the simplicity of salvation in Romans chapter 10, one of the clearest passages in all the Bible on what it means to put your faith and trust in Christ. And we're going to be dealing with the work of missions and evangelism and our motivation, our mission to take the gospel to the world. Because central to all of this, all of Romans and certainly these three chapters, is the fact that everyone needs Jesus. Amen. Paul set that straight early on in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And that includes all of humankind, the chosen people of God, the Israelites, and the Gentile world, which includes most of all of us. And in this, we see the heart of God for all people. And we hear the heart of God throbbing and sobbing for the world in the words of the Apostle Paul, his own words that are given to us in the first five verses of Romans chapter 10. And here we see, and in the message today, we're going to be seeing the people that God uses, and we're going to see the people that God chooses. The people God uses, and the people that God chooses. So look with me, beginning in chapter 9, the first five verses. "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit." That would be a great thing for every Bible teacher, every preacher, every Christian, that what we say is the truth, that's transparent, it's the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let that be said of each one of us, that we speak the truth in Christ, that we are sincere from our conscience and in Christ through the Holy Spirit. He said that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed and forever. And there's that word again, amen. Here is the heart of Paul, representing the heart of God. Someone said that evangelism and mission, sharing Jesus Christ with the world, is the sob of God. the heart of God for the world. And the people that God uses, that's the first thing I want you to consider, are the people who have great love and compassion and care for people here and around the world who need Jesus. Paul says, I have great sorrow. He said, I'm not exaggerating. I have great sorrow, continual sorrow. My heart is breaking for my family and friends. Paul was Jewish. He'd come to faith in Yeshua, believing in Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And his life was forever transformed, but it set him at odds with his Jewish brothers and sisters and his own family. And he's saying, I have a great desire in my heart, a burden that I carry every single day, that my family and friends, indeed that the whole world, both Jews and non-Jews, would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you know Jesus, you want others to know him too. Many of you, I pray most of you listening to me right now, have a burden for members of your family and friends and neighbors and co-workers and people around the world who have no relationship with God, who do not know Jesus. And it's heartbreaking, isn't it, to think that our family and friends, people without Jesus, anyone and everyone without him, is targeted for the justice of a holy God and to spend eternity separated from God forever and ever in the place called hell. And we don't want anybody to go to hell. We ought to be like the Apostle Paul when we consider the judgment and the prospect of hell in people's lives, that it would break our hearts. That we would say this in weeping and with tears. It's heartbreaking. So here is Paul crying out with deep desire and burden and brokenness in his own heart for lost people. Paul knew if God could save him, he could save anybody and everybody. Paul was a religious bigot and bully, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was that guy when he walked into the room, he always believed he was the smartest man in the room. You know that guy. That was Paul. He had all the religious credentials. He knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards and had memorized much of it. And yet, he was a religious terrorist, persecuting Christians, and he was a murderer. He himself described himself in those days, his BC, before Jesus days, he called himself the chief of sinners. He said, I was a murderer. He held the cloaks of the robes of those who stoned Stephen to death, the martyr, the first Christian martyr described in the New Testament. So Paul knew that if God could choose him and save him and use him, that he could save anyone. And so his heart is breaking, constantly burdened. Paul was a man of joy. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. When he walked into the room, I'm sure Paul lit the place up, but yet deep within was this brokenness, this burden that he carried with him at all time. It's what motivated this man and motivates a spirit-filled Christian in any generation to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We don't need to wonder, what is our mission? Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And that is the mission of Jesus. That is our mission as well as followers of Jesus, the Jesus people. He made it clear in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. These are our marching orders. But before evangelism and missions is a strategy, or a plan or a program or a method. It is a passion in the hearts of believers. It is love that leads us to go in Jesus' name. And if you want to sense the presence of Jesus and experience the power of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Christian life, then start witnessing and sharing your faith and watch Christ show up in ways that you've never even experienced before. Because when Jesus gave this great commission to go into all the world and preach and teach and witness, he said, "And I am with you always to the ends of the age, to the ends of the earth." In other words, I'm going to be right there with you. My Spirit is going to enable you to say the right things, to bring the right scriptures, to bring people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I say, think about it. When you're sharing your faith, Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses." When you are witnessing, there is power and the presence of God's Spirit in your life, the anointing in this appointing that we all have to share the good news of the gospel of Christ. But it starts here. Your heart.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, Everyone Needs Jesus. God commissioned parents as the first line of defense for a child's heart. And in a culture characterized by defiance and disobedience, it's all the more important to raise children who will love, serve, and honor the Lord. That's why we want to send you the new edition of Dr. Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This parenting classic dives deep into what it takes to be the kind of mom or dad that models God's heart for your kids. Courageous Parenting is our thanks for your gift today. So call now to request your copy of Courageous Parenting when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. Everyone needs Jesus.
When you consider the topics that we have in front of us of great theological and biblical proportions, these subjects of theology, and theology means the study of God, logos, study or word, theo, God. So these great theological truths regarding the greatness of God, the glory of God, faithfulness of God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all these great truths about God that we're going to be seeing in Romans 9, 10, and 11, all these things about predestination and election, these often become theological volleyballs batted back and forth, conversations. But before we even get started, before Paul gets us deep into these great truths of the gospel, he wants to make sure that he and we know these things not just in our head as a theological concept, but deep in our hearts, that we would know and love Jesus, that his love would be in our hearts. And we've already learned in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that the Holy Spirit is poured out into our hearts. And so this love, this great love, brings us to a place of powerful and persuasive commitment to share our faith. And with that, Paul makes a stunning and superlative statement. He said, "Because I have this longing and love for my family and friends, the Jewish people," we know that he also had a love beyond the Jewish people to the world. He was known as the missionary to the Gentiles. He took the gospel everywhere. He was always looking for the next horse to get on and ride to share the gospel, and the next boat to get on and go in the name of Jesus. So we know he had a love for the world, He said, but I have a great love for my own countrymen, my own family, my own friends. He said, I say this sincerely, and I say this sorrowfully. And then he says, to the degree that I would be willing to die and go to hell if my family and friends could come to know Jesus. Wow. This is more than a hypothetical for Paul. This is more, it's certainly not hypocritical, just exaggerating. No, he said, this is the truth. This is in my heart, my conscience. Christ himself bears witness with me that this is true. That I would be willing to be accursed, to be separated from God forever. That my loved ones and my people, Israel, would come to faith in Jesus. Paul knew, as we know, if you know your Bible, that you can't pray someone out of hell and into heaven. You can't do anything for someone to get them to heaven. This is all of Jesus. Paul knew that. Paul knew it wasn't possible for him to sacrifice his own life for someone else to be saved. He's speaking in a gut-wrenching way. He's crying out, and this man is weeping. And his heart is breaking. Tears. You want to know how to love and lead your family and your friends to Christ? You've got a child that's away from God, walked away, doesn't know Christ. A husband, a wife, a grandparent, someone that you love, someone very close to you. Yes, we care about the world, and we're going to go into the world in every way possible, but Jesus told that man who was set free from the demonic powers by the Gadarenes, he wanted to travel with Jesus after his salvation and be a part of the disciple band. He said, no, go home first and tell your family and friends what I've done for you. It's where it starts. And you have a heart to see your family saved. What's the key? Start with tears. An evangelist was once asked by a lady, how can I bring my husband to Christ? He said, try tears. Tears. Genuine, heartfelt tears that are flowing from a heart that loves God. The psalmist said in Psalm 126, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed with tears shall doubtless come again rejoicing. Where are the tears? I have to tell you, I read this and it's so convicting. Isn't it? Because so often the church is dry-eyed in a hell-bent world. We have a lot of anger at things that are going on in the world, but where is the anguish? Because people around us, these are not the enemy. These are people that God loves. Jesus died for everyone so that all could come to faith and repentance in Christ. And what will turn you into a flaming witness for Christ and the gospel is a burden. Write someone's name down. Write two or three people's name down. Put it in the white pages at the front and the back of your Bible or in your notes or in your journal. But I want to challenge you to ask God to give you a burden, to put someone on your heart who needs Jesus. Even some soul nearest to hell. Because no one can escape the powerful prayers of God's people and the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel and of your tears, your concern, your care, your compassion. Jesus had it. He wept over the city of Jerusalem before his death, on his way to the cross, not thinking of himself, but giving himself. And he cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," with big tears popping out of his eyes and coursing down his cheek. This wasn't, you know, a small cry. This was sobbing and heaving, according to the word that is given to us in the Bible. Jesus is heaving. He is hurting. He is brokenhearted. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem," this is his people. Because Jesus was born into the family of Israel. You say, "I would have gathered you like a hen would have gathered her brood, but you would not." You would not. He was rejected and resisted. When he went to the garden, he was sweating drops of blood like tears flowing from his body. Moses prayed the same kind of prayer as Paul. When judgment was due to the children of Israel, their rebellion, even at the giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses went before God and said, "God, if necessary, blot me out of your book to save your people. Take me out, but spare your people." That's the heart of God. And only the Holy Spirit can give us this. Like Paul, we want to take as many people with us to heaven as possible. What a privilege that we get to be the ambassadors of Christ, witnesses of the gospel. But it all starts in the heart, doesn't it? You say, "Well, I don't know enough to share the gospel. I don't know all the things. I can't answer all the questions." Start with your heart. Start with your heart and your love for God and your love for people and watch God work. When I was a young Christian, singing in a student choir, we sang a song, "Do You Really Care? Do you know how to share with people everywhere? Do you really care?" Paul cared. Jesus cared. Paul couldn't die for the world. That was impossible because someone else had already done it. Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and the heart of God is for you, and he gave his life for you, and Jesus did for you what no one else can do for you, and that is to die on the cross, to forgive you of all your sins, to come into your life to be your Savior and Lord, and to give you the hope of heaven now and forever. Amen. Trust in Jesus. And let Jesus then give you a purpose and a passion for living, to glorify God by introducing Jesus as Lord to as many people as possible, starting with those right in front of you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, and then to the nations.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, "Everyone Needs Jesus." There's a spiritual battle raging for the very souls of our children. And God has commissioned parents as the first and best line of defense to protect kids against the attacks of our culture and the enemy. We want to equip you to fight the good fight of faith for your family by sending Pastor Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This new edition offers practical advice and spiritual encouragement to help you guard, guide, and strengthen your child's faith so they can grow into bold followers of Jesus. And it's our special thanks for your gift today. Your support helps boldly proclaim God's word around the world through PowerPoint. So thank you for your gift today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PARENT to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. powerpoint.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
If you knew that someone was about to step into traffic and get hit by a car, you would quickly scream or maybe try to grab that person and pull them out of harm's way. Why? Because of your perspective. You don't want to watch someone die right in front of your lives. You feel compassion for that someone who is stepping into a tragedy. Well, every day we see people who are spiritually walking in front of a disaster. They're headed down the wrong road, a road that leads to death, destruction, and yes, what Jesus called hell, eternal separation from God, eternal suffering and pain apart from God. But you see, it's so easy to look past these people or beyond these people because we don't see their danger. It's our perspective that's wrong. That's why it's so important that we allow Jesus to be the center of our lives, that we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when we are walking in the Spirit, we'll have a new perspective. We'll see people as God sees people, desperately in need of Him and in danger of a life without God and without hope forever. So what we need to do is look beyond our own fears and embarrassment and share with boldness the good news of Jesus Christ, to share our faith, to share our testimony. You can do this. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or a theologian or a preacher to share your faith. Tell people just how much Jesus means to you. Live the life, walk the walk, and then talk the talk, and let others know that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He was so connected with Christ that he had a heart full of compassion, a heart that ached for those who did not know the Lord. We need to find this heart. We've got to pray that the love of God will fill us every single day and then give us strength to love people and then to tell people of the wonderful gift of eternal life. So how do you become bold? How do you become fearless in your witness? How do you find this courage? You find this courage in the power of Jesus Christ and the love of Christ that fills your life.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Courageous Parenting, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PARENT to 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about the incredible and encouraging truth that God chose you and has a purpose for your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.